Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
That's right. Blair Kirkhoff, always proud to be a part of this professional, mature adult broadcast, we like to call the program, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, coming to you straight out. Normally, we're straight out of the Rally House studios. We'll be at Rally House Kansas Sampler tomorrow as the program World Tour of Kansas City makes stop number 5 today at the Tickets for Less. 12 straight roadies. This is 6. I'm sorry, this is 6. 12 straight roadies to wrap up my 2017.
The 12 days of roadies.
I'm going to finally take a day off. I haven't taken one day off this year.
That is incredible.
You are
the hardest working man.
I have not taken Rob, can you think of a time I have not? When was the last time I was not at work?
2004?
Yeah, something like that.
I take so many days off. I'm not here when you are or aren't off, so who knows?
Yeah. Rob's worked 8 days this year, and you were here for all of them, so how would he?
All 8. That's right. Damn it.
Forget James Brown. You are the hardest working man in show business.
James Brown could bite it.
He does a bit where, we throw the jacket on him, and then he throws the jacket off and goes back to the mic and
goes
does
another, work,
another segment.
Yeah.
When you did the show from the beach in Maui a couple of weeks ago,
that's when I was really impressed. That was the effort. That was the huge effort, right? Next week or Christmas, I'll do it from Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be down there, and I will work down in Rio.
Yeah, you will.
I was a little late. I heard the Olympics. I guess I got my dates wrong or something. I don't know. Blair Kirkhoff is with us from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. You know, they were stop number 5 on the World Tour yesterday, Blair. Maybe we could have done that a little bit better and linked that up on the day that you were going to be there. You can still, though, save thousand on the thousands, plural. 17 GMC Yukons up to 16 grand off, 17 Canyons up to $8,000 off, the Sierras, 17 Sierras up to $10,000 off with your trade. You do 18 Sierras up to $13,000 off with your trade. And, of course, it's Denali, the Denali season to upgrade, 2017 GMC Denali models, 0% for 72 months. Blair, how are you?
Doing great.
Can you believe that Tickets for Less can sell Chiefs tickets for Chiefs and Chargers, upper level, first 10 rows on the sideline. You got a call to get this, 913-685-3322, for $40 when the Chiefs are selling them for $85.
Such a deal.
That is a hell of a deal. Lower level, $79 for this Chiefs-Chargers game. And the Dolphins, I mean, this is the greatest deal of all time. Chiefs and Dolphins, $20 in the upper level, $40. $45 in the lower level.
Pretty good. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Afternoon.
Be a great way to get the day started. You go do that. Take the whole family out to a Chiefs game with the family and then, head on home. Or go with the fellas. Have some fun because then you got to deal with the family. Hey, I don't care how you want to look at it, man. It's your world. You got to live in it. I'm just giving you 2 different ways to make it happen. Tickets for Less is where you will get the tickets. Blair.
I heard one of your callers in the previous hour, close to the end there, wonder if give you the over under on 50K at Arrowhead this weekend. I really do think it's going to be close to capacity.
I do too. I think
all the elements are there for it.
Yeah, it hasn't been much this year, but I do think on Saturday the fans will.
Saturday night, you don't have to go to work the next day. Right. Coming off a win, and for the AFC West, it's a spectacular game. I get it, the Dolphin game. The Dolphin game will be a great game if the Chiefs win.
Right.
I don't listen. Dan's sitting upstairs. This is his business. His tickets, and he. That's no secret to him, right? He knows
he
what the hell is
the
going
Chiefs
on. Sure, he does, and everybody else does. The community does. All the buy your gear to go out for tailgate. I mean, it's good for the economy. People spend money to go to the Chiefs game, so we all want to win.
Look at the Royals. What the Royals did for the city's economy in back-to-back World Series runs when. People buy stuff for when teams win.
Saw it in airports all over the country.
Yeah.
Royals fans, Royal Blue, everywhere in the country. So, not to suggest it's a big game or anything Saturday night. But
it's a monster.
It's huge. Second consecutive week, they play the biggest game of the year.
And we're debating whether it's the biggest Andy Reid era game at Arrowhead. And I don't remember one.
I think you're right.
That was a showdown this late, a division showdown this late in the season.
What would you say about Chiefs Steelers in the playoffs last year?
Well, regular season.
Regular season. Okay.
I mean, sure, the playoff game.
I'll make you a case that I wouldn't buy it, right? But if it was high school debate, I had to argue the side that this one's bigger than the Steelers because it's Alex Smith's last hurrah,
right.
Because it could be a total rebuild on the other side if you don't get the win. I mean, I can give you reasons why you could theoretically say this is bigger than a playoff game against the Steelers last year.
And it's bigger in other ways. It's kind of in two different formats. The Raider Thursday night game last year when they were both – I mean, that was – there was more at stake for that particular season because there was the belief that if they won that game, if they get, you know, when the West, they get second, you know, they get a home game in round two, and they legitimate Super Bowl contenders. But the future of the franchise was not necessarily a question.
And that was also
this team doesn't really feel like maybe it's a Super Bowl contender, but so many other things will be decided by where the season goes that it's just as big, but in a very different way.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That game against the Raiders also was like 2 weeks earlier than this one. That was a week 12 game. It was first Thursday in December, I believe.
It was.
So there was season to go. They could have lost that lead. They ended up tying with the Raiders and won the tiebreaker on the head-to-head. Mm-hmm. And look, the Chiefs can lose this game and still win the division with two games left. But
much tougher.
It would be much more difficult. Because if the Chargers win here, I don't see them losing anywhere else.
No, but what the Chiefs could do is lose to the Chargers. Why the Dolphin game still would have implications. They can lose to the Chargers, win their next two, and I think they'll be in. I think any combination of nine wins and the Chiefs are going to be in. Because I was looking at the Ravens. What do the Ravens have left, Curtis?
Ravens have.
Because they're at 7-6, right? And who's the other 7-6? Buffalo?
Buffalo. So. Ravens have at Cleveland, Indy, and Cincy at home. They got two home games at the end. Buffalo is Miami at home, at New England, at Miami.
Wait, then I screwed up because that Ravens schedule.
It's
is
easy. Yeah. I was watching the Sunday night game. I remember hearing them talk about this is probably the last opportunity for the Ravens to lose, or they'll be favored in the rest of their games. But maybe it is Buffalo.
Making sure that's the right, yeah. Buffalo, yeah, Cleveland. Baltimore's at Cleveland. At Cleveland, and then Indy and Cincy at home for the Ravens.
And then what are the Bills. Titans?
Titans.
Who are on the outside looking in right now.
No, Titans are in. They're
right, it's Jacksonville.
No, out of their division.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They're the other wild card team.
Titans are at San Francisco, Raiders at home, Jags at home.
Raiders and Jags. So that could be the – and where are they
I'm
at?
I'm sorry, right? That's Rams. I have LAR there. That's Rams at home. So much different.
So what is it?
It is at San Francisco – Rams at home, Jags at home.
That's no gimmies.
No.
Right there. But they're a game up, aren't they?
They're 8-5, yeah. So. They've got some wiggle room. And they're probably going to get a win this weekend at San Francisco. But
the question is, would they drop two in a row at home?
Well, and then it'll come down to conference record if they're both 9-7.
And they're now 7, and this week won't matter. They've only got one more conference game left.
Yeah.
Titans. So if they were to lose both, that'd put them at 7-5 in the conference. And the Chiefs, if they were to end up in that spot right now, they're 5-4. They've got three conference games, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Like, so they'd be 7-5.
Where would they tie at? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you go.
But I don't know. I kind of don't think the Titans are going to tank back to back. So
probably
maybe it's not. I sure as hell thought it looked a lot better. Well, then why are the Chiefs 61% for the playoffs according to the NFL?
It's got to be home this weekend for sure.
Except the Chargers are 66%.
Yeah.
By the same.
You're right.
They're actually three spots
ahead of
them.
I didn't see that. It was a 61% analytical.
Yeah. That's
Chiefs are 11th best and the Chargers are 8th best.
So listen, for the most part, you want to be in, you better win all three.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, if they win Saturday, they just have. They just need the magic numbers one. Just a combination of
because they're up a game with the tiebreaker.
Right.
They only for them not to win the division.
Do they have the tiebreaker on the Raiders too?
Well, they will with the division record.
Yeah, but
the Raiders have already lost three in the division,
right,
and the Chiefs would not be able to do worse than 4-2 in the division.
Correct.
Okay.
So win this week in.
And then you need
the Chargers,
one of two.
Yeah.
Right. Win one of two or have the Chargers lose one.
Yeah. That'd be a nice spot for
Chargers
Andy Reid.
Chargers have to win out. Chiefs have to lose out for them not to win the division.
And that'd be a nice spot to get the win here, beat the Dolphins, and then put everybody on ice at Denver.
Including Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Would that happen?
Pat Mahomes makes his debut in Denver.
Could we see it?
With Tri-Kendrick West in the backfield. Because if you're setting Smith, you're certainly setting Kareem Hunt.
The Chase.
No Tyreek Hill, probably.
The Chase Daniel, Nile Davis lineup.
They put up 30 points in that game, but not the first one.
Yeah, well, Pat Mahomes and DeMarcus Robinson worked just fine last time.
That's right.
You know? That was really
Denver,
good in the preseason.
In that game, Denver will be – that's going to be a mail-it-in.
Absolutely.
For that group. They had much higher hopes for this season than sitting there wherever they're at right now, 4-9.
Right.
4-diddly is what I'd say.
Yeah.
But that's just me. It's just my view of it. All right, Blair, I want to ask you about the college football because a lot of times we get into the local basketball or whatever and we don't get around to it. So I want to ask you about OU. What is at stake for the Big 12 with Oklahoma? Well, like they're in. They got somebody in. So,
but that's big.
Christ, that is big. That's huge.
Getting in was
absolutely
really, really big.
It was the biggest thing.
It was the biggest thing because they because they instituted a championship game this year, and it didn't help them.
Right.
You know, they didn't Oklahoma didn't win its way in because they won the Big 12 championship. I think Oklahoma would have been in without a championship this year because they wanted Ohio State.
They averted the disaster that the Big 12 conference tried to create.
That's right. There probably will be situations in the future where a Big 12 team is on the outside looking in, wins the Big 12 title game, someone loses a title game somewhere else, and the Big 12 jumps him, and it jumped him because of that. That wasn't the case this year. So it was really big for Oklahoma not to lose to TCU. And Gary Patterson said it himself the week before the game. He said, nobody in the world's cheering for us outside of Fort Worth. And he was right. For Oklahoma, for the Big 12, they needed Oklahoma to win that game, and Oklahoma won it. So now it gets to the next level of importance. Should the program that has the Heisman Trophy winner and the acknowledged, you know, best college football player beat an SEC team with a freshman quarterback that I don't think is the best SEC team? They're one of the three, but I don't think they're the best. I think that's an important game for Oklahoma against Georgia.
No, I think so as well. And I think what they need to get back to be an OU, a championship contender. It's great that you're in this four that puts you there. But I, you know, at some point, this league needs to win a title.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
I mean, they don't have to. The biggest thing was getting a team in.
Yeah,
right. Being in the party, and with two leagues out, that was important. But now, really, I think you could say, okay, this is for the future. This is for when the next TV contract comes around. Are you talking about a league that's four or five times has made the playoffs, never once played for the title, never won one. Only played for it once. You know, we get 10 years through this contract. Are we going to say, okay, the Big 12 was in six times and only played for it once? Are we going to end up saying that?
We could because
that doesn't sell to the TV.
No, it probably doesn't. But the more important thing is, does it sell to the football coach at that school? Because my thinking's evolved. In the when it comes to the Big 12 and its foundation, its future, that if Oklahoma and Texas believe that they can win a national championship by being in the Big 12, then they'll stay in the Big 12 and the Big 12 will continue to exist. But if Oklahoma and Texas, especially those two, if those two programs believe that they have to be in the SEC or someplace else to compete with those schools to win a national championship because they're getting their brains beat out in recruiting in their home states, in Texas especially, then they're gone. Then the Big 12 doesn't exist in the way that we know it right now. Texas and Oklahoma, I think, will go find someplace else. I think the whole future of the Big 12 depends on whether the kingpin football programs can succeed by recruiting in the footprint of the Big 12. And if they can't, then why should you be in the Big 12? If you can't win by recruiting kids to the Big 12 from the Big 12 footprint because they're going to the SEC, then you better be in the SEC. You better be able to tell kids that you can stay closer to home by coming to Oklahoma or Texas than you can by going to LSU or Auburn or Alabama. And that, to me, that's the stakes that we're talking about here for success on the national level. This wasn't a question when the Big 12 in the 2000s, because Oklahoma won a national championship, Texas won a national championship, Texas played for another one, Oklahoma played for three or four others. They could play with anybody in the country. The Texas-Oklahoma game was the biggest game of the year. The game at the State Fair was the biggest college football game of the year, and the winner usually was in the national championship game. Well, it stopped being that. The SEC became this monster, and now the ACC is becoming something of a monster with Florida State and Clemson winning national championships in the last 4 years. So, yeah, you know, there have been three winners of the first three seasons have come from a different conference, right? The Big Ten won the first one, the SEC won the second one, the ACC won the third one. It's time. You know, let's keep that going. Pac-12 can't win it this year because they're not in it. So Big 12, big time to win one for the Big 12.
It would Lincoln Riley would mirror.
Oh my gosh,
Bob Stoops. Yeah. You know, he won it in his second year.
Yeah.
But to get off the ground running and be a national championship coach that early in your career would be huge.
And I would I'd submit, and so would fans like Lebo, who know OU so well, that Lincoln Riley took over a program in much better shape than Bob Stoops did when he got there in 1999, and it was he had athletes but no structure. It took him a year to get
absolutely.
That going.
Absolutely.
And then in the second year, won it.
And so what do we think? I mean, the one school that doesn't look like the rest is OU in the sense that their defensive ranks are far behind.
Yeah, yeah. That's the frightening aspect if you're Oklahoma. Can you prevent Georgia from running all over you, controlling the ball, winning time of possession in such a way that, you know, Baker Mayfield doesn't see the field, you know, that you cut Oklahoma's possessions in the game from 12 to 14 to 8 to 10. And I think that's the way Georgia would win the game. And talk about that freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm. He's a capable guy. He's had a good season. And I think he's a future all SEC type quarterback, but Oklahoma has to play its style. They're going to have to score on a lot of, you know, get a lot of possessions, score on a lot of possessions, and try to get the game up, you know, try to get the score up a little bit. The last time Oklahoma was in the college football playoff, they played a good Clemson team, good defensive Clemson team, and Clemson shut them down. I mean, it was close at halftime, but the Tigers ran away with it. And that's the Clemson team that lost to Alabama in the championship game. So that's kind of my concern for Oklahoma. You want to see them score, but you know how this has been in the history, the recent history of up-tempo college football. The up-tempo team doesn't score, you know, enough to win the game. I go back to the, you know, Chip Kelly Oregon team that lost to Cam Newton and Auburn in the championship.
Well, that was pretty close, though.
It was a field goal at the gun, but it was a low
scoring. Well, it was a big run.
Yes.
Oregon kind of had him out, and it was a big run by that kid who looked like a stud and disappeared to JC, and I don't know where he is now. But
you're right.
But got loose and ran him down there close. And then Cam Newton almost fumbled it away.
He did. He almost fumbled it away. But Oregon was beating teams. You know, they were going 50 on teams that year. And I think that game was 20-19 or something like that. So, and then, what, a year or two before, Oklahoma against Florida. That was the Oklahoma team that scored 60-plus in each of its final five games was the Sam Bradford year. And then Florida, they play Tebow in Florida in the championship game, and Florida shuts them down and wins that, you know, holds Oklahoma to two touchdowns. So it just seems like in big moments when the high scoring team, usually from the West, you know, the Pac-12 or Big 12, meets up with an SEC or an ACC defensive minded team, the defense ends up winning the game. So Oklahoma's got a scheme, come up with a good game plan. Look, TCU's a really good defensive team, best defensive team in the Big 12, and Oklahoma, what, 41, I think, on them in the Big 12 title game. So maybe there's a chance to do that, but we'll see. It is big. I'm going to love that day, though. You got Central Florida starting off the day, Central Florida Auburn in the mm-hmm. Peach Bowl.
Scott Frost last game.
Game will be covered by every Nebraska media outlet. They will go down. In fact, they'll be – you'll see red in the stands there. They'll be chanting "Go Big Red" at that game at the Peach Bowl, and then the Rose Bowl, and then Clemson, Alabama 3 in the Sugar Bowl that night. That'll be a great day for college football.
It is going to be a fantastic day. All right, we will take a break. Blair Kirkhoff is with us. We are here at Tickets for Less. Great deals going on. We're going to talk about some Kansas basketball next. You want to go see the Jayhawks on January 9th. Against Iowa State, $40 tickets, KU Iowa State, at ticketsforless.com. Coming up on February 3rd, KU Oklahoma State for $79, and KU West Virginia on the 17th. Make a great Valentine's gift. KU West Virginia for just $99. 10% off all Sprint Center events when you use the code SPRINT10. That's Big 12 Tournament NCAA Volleyball Championships tonight and Saturday. Great concerts like Kid Rock, Pink, Maroon 5, Eagles, Ketchup, Brad Paisley, all of them there. PBR, Disney on Ice, the Monster Jam, all of that, 10% you can save. And, of course, great deals on the Chiefs tickets as well. It's all right here at ticketsforless.com.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. Ernie Davis, first black player to win the Heisman Trophy, born on this date in 1939. Who was the second black player to win the Heisman Trophy? Heisman, I put a D at the end of John Heisman's name for some reason.
Well, you know that I know
who the first
that Ernie Davis is first because he's straight out of the Cubes.
Someone guessed Jim Brown.
Jim Brown did not win it. He finished fifth. He probably should have won it.
And he predated.
It was supposed to say he was in the 50s.
That's not a bad guess.
No. Fine guess.
Who are you mocking? Where do you get off?
There's a guy, great loyal listener, John. He guesses every end of the hour question.
Yeah.
And he's never right. I love him.
Love the competitiveness.
Yes. He's not quitting.
I love
it. So you found the Rins burner account. That's cool.
I hope he answers every single one. He's a good fan. We've seen him at a couple of remotes, John.
A burner account. That's awesome.
Please keep firing away.
Is this John the 49er fan?
Yes.
Okay. I know John. John's a great guy.
Yes. every answer is a 49er.
It's usually a 49er.
Like, it's a baseball question.
Is it Roger Craig?
No, Jerry Rice was not the first pitcher to throw a no-hitter in Cleveland.
It's the first black Heisman Trophy winner, Roger Craig.
But to his credit, second guess, he got it.
Oh, he did.
Okay.
Yep, well, right away. So he's a student of the show. Second.
I can after you, I will.
Okay. I'm trying to come up with something.
Like a hint.
It's not Johnny Rogers.
No. Does it
local angle?
Well,
that does not help me at all.
Oh, it helps.
Oh, Mike Garrett.
65 toss power trap.
Yeah. Mike Garrett. Mike Garrett. Okay. Very good.
Man, I was going to guess OJ, but.
Why?
He was the third.
Third.
Why? You weren't even close with that.
65 toss power trap. Yeah.
For me, there's nothing funnier than the over the top, absolutely wrong. You know, say it's why Will Ferrell is the funniest human being on earth.
Are you crazy?
What are you doing? You were way off, you know? Dumb and Dumber, brilliance, you know, just absolute stupidity is funny. It's really funny.
Well, what's this? The center, like, who was the PBS? Was it a PBS commentator he imitated? On Saturday Night Live?
Where he had the beard, or was he?
Yeah, the beard.
Yeah, the guy who does the we bring in the celebrities, and you get to know them in the theater.
James
who?
Tipton?
Yes. James Lipton.
James Lipton, yeah.
He's the call that it's theater. Mystery Science Theater keep popping in my head, and it's not that. Inside the Actor's Studio.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
James Lipton with his stack of blue.
Yes. He had Charles cards. Nelson Reilly on.
Perhaps the greatest movie of all time. What is your favorite curse word? It's so good.
I do remember that one. That is good.
Because that's one that James Lipton actually asks.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want, find the one where they do the cast of Family Guy. That is funny.
Oh, yeah?
That is good.
Okay.
Because he asks some questions in their character. Just to watch McFarlane just rifle through all these characters is just freak show talent.
All right, so by the way, we're up on the Facebook Live here with Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. Kyle Huppy running the operation. We sent him out for lunch as we broadcast live here at Tickets for Less to a local restaurant we don't need to publicize. That's literally, we can see it.
From the door here, yep.
Right? So he left at 11:02. It's 11:36. Right? So I said, dude, you do know there's one right there. Right? I didn't know if he was driving 7 miles because he didn't know there's one right there. And he says, this is what he just said. He just walked in. Dude, I was getting drinks and didn't hear my order called, So apparently someone else snagged the bag and left with it.
Ah.
Remaking now was his update a minute later. And then a minute after that, while he's still clearly waiting, whoever did that is a savage. First world problem when the guy who steals your lunch at a fast food restaurant is called a savage.
A-H?
Sure. Savage?
Tell you what, he's a savage eating free lunch right now. That's what he is. That's one bright savage.
Well done, my friend.
I'm savage. Yeah, I'm savage.
427 right here. That's me. Yep, that's a big bag. Yeah, so that's me.
The guy was clearly standing there, and he probably had an order and was waiting for something. Yeah. He saw, heard the number and looked around, didn't see anybody
Kyle
call
says,
it.
Kyle goes, it had my second name calling. On it.
Yeah.
So they literally go, Kyle, that's me.
He's going.
I'm Kyle. Wait, weren't you Phil yesterday? You bet I was. Today I'm Kyle. It's a big old bag. That's me, Kyle.
Kelly Wickett.
Call me Kyle.
Yes, I am.
Kylie John. That's me, Kyle. Yeah, give it here. I'll take that out of here. Did you give him ketchup too, you complete fool?
No, I said Kylie. Well, my parents thought it was going to be a girl.
Joan, stuck with the name. That's me. I'm Joan.
Hang on, I got a call here. Kylie, yep, that's me.
But that would work because I give my wife's name. They're like, can I get a name? Now she's got one of those names that you could actually be a guy, Lynn.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, can I get a name? I always give Lynn because I'm like, I don't. Seren, how, what is it? S-O-R-E-S-E-R. No.
Yes.
Lynn, L-Y-N. That's just go with Lynn. So I always give my wife's name. So that could be.
Every Friday night, I go out with the Stones, Matt and Liz. Name, it ain't going to be Seabolt. Name, Stone. No questions asked.
How do you S? Is it a T?
I'm pretty sure you give Blair and not Kirkhoff.
I do. I give Blair.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. So we've been there. We're at Tickets for Less, where you can get Chiefs tickets. Chiefs Dolphins on the 24th. $20 uppers, $45 lower level seats. You cannot beat this price anywhere. And if you want to go to the Chiefs and Chargers this weekend, this Saturday night, lower level starting at $79. On the phone only, upper level, first 10 rows on the sideline, $40. Take advantage of this. The Chiefs are selling those tickets for $85. Get them for Tickets for Less for $40. Call 913-685-3322. Blair, what's wrong with the Jayhawks? I mean, what is wrong? I mean, obviously, I mean, this is just the hell is frozen, right?
It's savage is what it is. it's a disaster. You know what? It's a couple losses, and I still look when I look back on last week or the last week and a half. It's the Washington one is still the one that I we can explain it. We talked about it, and
right.
But in terms of just talent, that should never have happened. Arizona State's got a little bit of talent, and yeah. They're extremely well coached.
Hopkins' team isn't well coached. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Well, they're even better coach because I think Arizona State has more talent.
I just wanted to play the role of a number of our listeners that anytime a compliment is given to somebody else. What are you saying? My team sucks? What are you saying? Here's an email that I clearly didn't proofread because capitalization of punctuation is a mystery, but I'm so pissed. What are you talking about? They get coached. Just calm down, guy. Calm down.
Common.
Because everyone screams while they type. I always do. I type with purpose.
Common to the losses.
I know that. What was that in?
Up in the air.
Up in the air, yeah.
You mad at your computer? I type with purpose.
Yeah. The little girl.
When they're on the plane.
She's on the plane. It's like, are you mad at your computer?
No. Really good movie.
It is.
Correct. Excellent.
So defense was a problem. It was a problem
you
against.
Think?
It was a problem against Washington. It was a big problem against Arizona State. And they've got a for a team to come into Allen Fieldhouse against a Bill Self coached team and go 58.5 and shoot the percentage of whatever Arizona State shot in the second half. It scored 95 on a Kansas team. That was just stunning. Stunning to.
Do you know the only other time that ties the record for most given up at Allen Fieldhouse? Do you know the other?
I covered that the other one.
Yeah, I mean that amazing. That's a little bit different flavor.
Yeah.
To giving up 95 and only scoring 85
and losing
giving up 95 and winning by 55.
Yeah, it was one of the very first games I covered at Allen Fieldhouse was that Kentucky Roy Williams against Rick Pitino contest in 1989, the 89-90 season.
Rick Pitino clearly got what he deserved that day.
Rick Pitino was out of timeouts, and he looked down at and Roy Williams looked down at the Kentucky bench and asked Rick, gave him, can I call a timeout for you? And you want a timeout? And Rick gave him half the peace sign back. So the answer was no, as it was conveyed.
That stuns me. I would ever think that Coach Roy would do something like that.
Well, I mean, he was actually trying to help him out.
Help him out. He wanted to, yeah.
See, that's the problem. That's Roy's problem and why he drives people crazy is because Roy was genuinely trying to help him out.
He was.
And he feels for the kids. He genuinely is. But it's not Roy's job to coach the other team.
Yeah.
And – what Roy doesn't recognize is, while he'd see that as, aw, shucks, country friendliness,
yeah,
right? The other coach sees it as, screw you.
Yeah.
I don't need your charity, right? But Roy puts his opinion of things on the whole. He doesn't just go, I'm going to handle my world. Roy is that coach who is like a god, right? Nobody can tell the head coach of a Kansas or North Carolina anything. They can literally do anything they want. And it's in his head that when he thinks this is how the other team should act, that's how they should act. Not, I'll worry about my kids, and if they act that way, that's that coach and that program's problem. No, Roy is like, no, you don't do it that way, son. This is how it's done. And that's what he ran into with Rick Pitino that day, and that's why Roy rubbed people the wrong way, because he's not just going to coach his team his way. He's going to coach yours his way, and that pisses people off.
And his response to that was, that's fine. I will never call another timeout again for the rest of my career.
I tried to call a timeout once. I got the bird. I'm done.
Get it.
So I'm out of the timeout business.
10-0 run. We're playing through it.
So there's some sanctimony there, which you're describing for sure. But that's why the I don't know. I don't know if I can describe the collective feeling that people had when Roy or Carolina got off scot-free with the academic scandal. But there are a lot of angry people about that because it happened and
– oh, you mean like the guy you're looking at right now who had his team get stripped of 100 wins and his coach lose 100 wins
because
some kid – a three-page paper got written by somebody else. Meanwhile, they've got a decade of a fake class they get nothing. You think there's some upset people?
Yeah. And have expressed that opinion. So
I get it. I mean, listen, I'll give them credit. They cheated better than anybody ever.
In the history of college sports.
It's the greatest cheating production ever. And you know what? If you bring that up to Roy, you know how pissed Roy gets?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, but.
No, I'm sure.
But he benefited from it.
I haven't heard. He obviously benefited from
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
They won two national championships during that time. And all because fraternity guys got to take the same class. That's basically that was the defense, and it was brilliant. It was a brilliant defense.
It was. I mean, I think it was engineered. I think they looked at the rule book and said, loophole right here. Let's do this, and if we ever get busted, we got an out. I don't think they just, like, got a crafty lawyer that said, wait a minute, other kids were in the class? Maybe they did. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's 1,000 schools that have paid a penalty that are going, wait a minute. All we had to do was point out there were other kids in the class getting passed.
That was my point. That's where Louisville screwed up. They should have had other students be part of the stripper party.
Yes.
You know, it should have been open to a couple of frats, and
absolutely.
They wouldn't have got hammered. So, but back to Kansas. I've never seen, and self-admitted it, they've just never played as poor defensive game as they did against Arizona State, and that's where, you know, people talk about, well, Sam Cunliffe's coming, you know, this week. And Maybe, but Cunliffe at least is a really good athlete. And I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to come in and score much for them.
I think he's going to look a lot like Garrett, to be honest with you.
I think he is, but I think
production-wise, I think he'd be a little more offensive.
Right. A little more polished, a little more experienced because he's done it at this level.
But what he does do is, to me, every minute that Mitch Lightfoot's getting, it should go to him. And then at least he's playing four guards all the time. And at least what you're doing stays the same.
Yep.
Because Lightfoot and Azubuike on the floor together, the handful of minutes it does actually occur, it kind of changes things. So at least now you've got four wing guard
Which is how they played last year.
Big. And then when you bring Billy Preston and D'Souza, then you can play your double post. And,
yep.
You know, it'll change assuming they get it. You got any update? I mean, I hear 70, 30 on 75, 25, 80, 20, more than 50% that they think Preston's going to be back second semester.
Which actually starts Saturday, which is why Cunliffe becomes eligible, because it's the end of the first semester.
Right.
Didn't D'Souza have a tweet or some social media message?
So he could be there sooner than you think.
Sooner rather than later, something like that. Yeah, sooner than you think. So I don't know what that – who knows what that that means.
You know, KU fans took it and ran it, as they should, that, like, he means, okay, he passed the test. He's got to get a certain SAT score. If he gets that score, then he's in. It's as simple as that.
Quick turnaround on the score, but – Maybe it did, and he's encouraged.
Or maybe he just got done taking it. He's like, that was easy.
That's right. I don't know. Man, that felt good.
Well, I had all the answers. So, get 1,600, we might have a scoop, might have a story there, right? Isn't that the highest you can get on the SAT?
On the SAT.
And he is taking the SAT,
and 30, right? 36 on the ACT.
Yeah. So we
you'll be in that world.
I'll sweat that one day.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, okay. I can't wait. We will take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit about the K-State Wildcats and maybe the Ball family if there's time. I don't know. Blair Kirkhoff's here. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Remember, 10% off all Sprint Center events with ticketsforless.com. That's where we are here today. Use the code SPRINT10. And you can save 10% on the Big 12 basketball tournament. Yes, think ahead, people. NCAA volleyball championships tonight and Saturday. Great concerts like Maroon 5, Eagles, Kesha, Brad Paisley, Kid Rock, Pink, the Rodeo, PBR, or Bull Riding. That's what that is. Professional Bull Riding, PBR. Disney on Ice, Monster Jam, plus KU tickets. You can go KU Iowa State, $40. And, of course, Chiefs tickets ruling the roost. Chiefs Chargers, lower level sidelines while they last, $79. Upper level, phone only. First 10 rows on the sideline, $40. Same tickets the Chiefs are charging, $85. Just call 913-685-3322. Are you picking up on the theme there, Blair? Do you know what it is?
A little Star Wars.
Yeah, every bump is a Star Wars song of some kind. You missed. You were not here for Bill Murray.
I did hear it in the part as did I was you? Pulling in, okay. Which is great.
Star Wars.
It's classic.
If they did Bar Wars.
I don't remember him as being a cast member with a lot of clout until I saw that skit. And I just remember rolling at that skit thinking, man, this guy is really, really funny.
Yeah, he's funny. He's a brilliant guy. I'll tell you what else is funny. Curtis's face.
Yeah.
That's like that joke came to mind.
Your face.
That's your retort, people. If somebody goes, you want to see something funny? You go, I'm already looking at your face. You know, I mean, that's just one of the ha-ha's.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. You know what the other one is? Like you talk about Roy and Patino when you think about the fact, oh, I was supposed to give you something, Blair. Hang on, here it is. And you dig around in your pocket, and then you find it like that. That's great, too. That's a good one.
It's a classic.
You find it. It's the old number one. You're already ready to go. There it is. Enoch laughs at that every single time.
Must be an
every
age time, thing, because I think it's kind of funny, too.
It's very funny. Tickets for Less has you covered for these Chiefs games. Chiefs and Dolphins, December 24th, $20. A family of four is going to go for $80. Blair, I don't know if you know this, but a family of five would then go for $100.
Well, wait a second. Let me get my calculator out.
You do the math.
Double check you on that.
I thought you were going to do something else. you're going to do the old number one trick. I was like,
yeah,
it's a weird place to do it, but, you know, what the hell? You may not get another chance.
Curtis does one where he shoots the fingers down.
Yeah.
Go ahead, show him.
Have you ever seen Jeff? Jack Black in
High Fidelity.
High Fidelity,
yeah.
He does it better than I do, though.
Yeah. You can go to the Dolphins in the lower level, see Chiefs Dolphins for $45. It's at ticketsforless.com. And a great holiday gift over at their store at the Oak Park Mall, autographed George Brett book. George Brett, Last of a Breed, $49. It's at the Tickets for Less Mall. So that would be a great gift
for any
Royals
fan. I've got that book at home. That was a good book.
Yes, it was. Blair, let's discuss the K-State Wildcats. Missouri, we haven't really had much happen on their front here for a week or so. But K-State dropping the game to Tulsa.
Ugh.
We thought it was the worst thing that could happen until Kansas said, oh, hold my beer. We've got Arizona State here. We'll go lose right now. But K-State not getting it done against Tulsa. So what do we think? You know, I had Doug Gottlieb a week and a half ago saying, hey, I think this K-State team's better than you're giving them credit for. And I said, listen, I don't know what they are. I just know that they were kind of 7-1 2 years ago and ended up going 5-13 in league. More and more, they're looking like a four-player team.
That's a bad loss. I mean, Tulsa was 4-4 coming into that game and had lost to Illinois State twice. Illinois State's not supposed to be good this year. What were they from three? Something for 31.
Yeah, 4-31.
Arizona State?
Kansas State, yeah. And Wichita. That four. Was such a terrible. And they kept shooting. They kept shooting.
That's what you do.
Didn't run the offense. Didn't get it in. So that's a bad loss. That's one to remember as the season unfolds and you wonder just how good Kansas State can
teams
be.
Teams have bad days. And if they bounce back and put a bunch of wins together, you'll look back and say, okay, that's just a bad day. But also sometimes it's an indicator that you're not very good.
And they don't have as many non-conference opportunities. They got Washington State coming up, so maybe that'll offset it.
We'll see if they get it going. All right, Blair, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.